On Saturday, May 7th, the Aspen String Trio and flutist Eugenia Moliner will give a concert at 7:30 at Pollard Auditorium in Oak Ridge. This world-renowned ensemble has been performing together for 20 years and will present works by Mozart, Beethoven, Rossini, Richard Strauss, and Gideon Klein. And on the phone with me today to talk about this concert is the cellist of the group, Michael Mermagan. Thanks so much for talking with me today, Michael.
Great to talk with you and to meet you.
Tell me how the trio was first formed. How did you all meet?
Well, actually, we knew each other even before the trio was formed. I had met David Perry, our violinist, at school. Well, I was a grad student. He was an undergrad student at the time, and this was at the Juilliard School. And then we both became faculty members at the Aspen Music Festival. And we played together for many years at Aspen, but not yet as the Aspen String Trio. Mm-hmm. And also Victoria Chang, who I met also at the Aspen Music Festival. We had been doing ad hoc chamber music in many different sizes, shapes, and forms for years until we decided to form the trio. And that came after playing some string trios together and noticing how well we really clicked as an ensemble and with the repertoire, and thought it'd be a great idea to do some touring during the winter. And also with this ensemble, we can add a pianist and have a piano quartet. You can add a flutist. You can add another violin. There's lots of things we can add to expand our repertoire. But the core is a more unique ensemble of just the string trio and a little less common than, for example, the string quartet.
Mm-hmm. And so you all met at the Aspen Music Festival. Do you still teach there?
Yes. Currently, I'm on my 25th season at the Aspen Music Festival.
Oh, wow.
And I'm supposedly getting an award this summer.
That's wonderful.
For surviving for 25. And Vicky's been there for a long time as well. David is not going back as a faculty member, but he was there for many, many years.
All three of you perform with some of the most prestigious symphonies in the United States. Is it difficult to find time to perform as both a symphonic and a chamber musician?
Well, actually, we find ourselves doing many different types of performing, and the three of us are also full-time professors at universities.
Mm-hmm.
David is a violin professor at the University of Wisconsin. Victoria Chang is at the Peabody Conservatory full-time, and I'm full-time at the Catholic University of America. So in addition to that, we do touring with the string trio, and there may be occasions for us to play concertos with orchestra or concertos together. Like David and I are playing the Brahms Double Concerto next season with the Prince George's Philharmonic here in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
So we have opportunities to play individually and together and in many different shapes and forms. That's kind of part of the business, even though time is limited. It's always enjoyable to do some of these other types of performances.
All three of you live separately, not really close to each other. How do you find time to rehearse?
That's true. Well, one of the good things is that we've played together for many, many years, and we know each other extremely well, and actually have played most of the repertoire in performances. So bringing the repertoire back is not a time-intensive experience. We usually just get together and do some intensive couple days of preparation to bring things back. But we've spent so many years playing this music together that that becomes less of an issue.
Mm.
On the other hand, I don't live very far from Vicky Chang because I'm in the D.C. area and she's in the Baltimore area.
Oh, right.
These are very close, actually. We're less than an hour away from each other. But David being in Wisconsin, that's the bigger problem because he needs to make a big trip to come and visit us, and we need to make a big trip to come and visit him. But it works out because we really work so well together and we have so much experience.
Flutist Eugenia Moliner will be joining you. How did this collaboration come about?
Well, actually, it was a recommendation from our concert manager. And concert managers tend to hook people up together with who they're representing. And so this is kind of an introduction through our concert manager to work with her. of course, we've heard a lot about her and heard her playing, and she has many recordings out, and we're very excited to have this opportunity to play some of our favorite flute chamber music on this program with her.
Let's talk about the music a little bit. On the first half of the concert, you are performing The String Trio by Gideon Klein, who I have to admit, I was not familiar with him at all, but I read about him when preparing for this interview, and he has a fascinating but tragic history. I wonder if you could talk about him a little bit and also the circumstances under which he composed this trio.
Absolutely. I was introduced to Gideon Klein's music through conductor Murray Sidlin, who actually brought students and faculty from the Catholic University to go to Terezin, which is where Gideon Klein's final years as a composer were, and that's the concentration propaganda camp of the Nazis. And we went actually to the town of Terezin to do performances, and basically he has a foundation that's based on championing the composers from the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got to know this piece. Gideon Klein, probably at the age of 21, I think, or 22, was deported to Terezin. And because it was a propaganda camp, they did allow cultural activities. And mm-hmm. there were many performances, and people were allowed to compose. Even though the conditions were really poor, there were opportunities for people to write music and to participate in performances. This is considered the last work that he ever wrote before he was then sent to Auschwitz.
Mm-hmm.
It's not thought that he went to a gas chamber. It's thought that he died of health complications on the way, or maybe when he arrived there. How they know that, I'm not sure. It's not confirmed that he actually perished by a gas chamber. But there are some people still alive who are from that concentration camp who I've met because of doing these concerts with Murray Sidlin, and they have expressed in great detail what the living conditions were like and how poor the food was and how bad the health conditions. And it's really difficult to talk to them and to hear how it was. And it's really amazing to think that there was arts happening.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe for many people, it was the only thing that they had to keep them going, to keep them hoping that they would get to a better place. And Gideon Klein was a handsome young man who was a composer and a great pianist. And Murray Sidlin liked to say that he could have been the Leonard Bernstein, basically, of his time because of his talents and his abilities. So very sad to lose him at such an early age, but we do have these pieces that he wrote. And the String Trio is really a fabulous, effective work composed right there in the camp and is considered to be his last known composition.
How would you describe his music?
Well, it does have folk elements in it, which could be related to Dvorak, but it's, of course, a little edgier, maybe not as tuneful as Dvorak.
Mm-hmm.
But it's full of folk elements and rhythmic dance elements, just with a little bit more modern edge to it.
You are performing two different flute quartets, one by Mozart and the other by Rossini. How do these composers' styles compare in this genre? Are they similar or different?
Well, there are some similarities there because Rossini, I believe he composed these at age 12.
Oh, my gosh.
and he didn't write it for flute. I think he transcribed it for wind instruments and for flute.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the original composition might have been two violins, cello, and bass. And this was because he wrote them in the summer when he was living with an amateur bass player. And I think he needed to get him into the ensemble. But this set of quartets are like the earliest known pieces coming from Rossini. And of course, Rossini, as we know, in the latter part of his career, was a very famous opera composer.
Mm-hmm.
But these pieces are very, very early, and they're definitely based on Mozart's style.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, they're related because I think Rossini was kind of copying a little bit the Mozart style,
mm-hmm.
but not anywhere near the depth and the quality that Mozart gets, of course, in his flute quartet, where he's 21 years old and writing these as a commission for a wealthy Dutchman who also was an amateur flutist. For some reason, Mozart, it's found in letters that he complained about flutists or writing music for flute, and it could be very much because he had issues with this Dutchman.
Right, right.
But still, it's an incredible work with a joyous first movement and a very solemn melodic slow movement, and then the rondo is very dancey, and it's one of the flutist's favorite chamber pieces, I believe.
You are also performing an early string trio by Beethoven. Is Beethoven still composing in a traditional classical style with this work, or do you feel that he's beginning to branch out a bit?
Yeah, it's definitely classical style, and he is branching out. That's just his nature.
Mm-hmm.
He might have been studying with Haydn around this time, or maybe this is just thereafter, but his music's always been trying to break away from Papa Haydn.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about the early string trios of Beethoven is to realize that these were his best works at the time that he presented them and had them published in Vienna.
Because he had not yet begun composing symphonies.
Begun composing the string quartets.
Oh,
that's
okay.
The most important thing, which
mm-hmm.
were the most famous chamber works mm-hmm. of any quartet repertoire, but also his best works were mm-hmm. the string quartets. But before those even happened, these were the best, and he was quite proud of them, and they were virtuosic because having three equal voices playing basically the same kind of music and amount of music as a string quartet, it would have been so much easier to have just had four voices, but the challenge of doing it in three. And he might have been inspired by Mozart's trio, the Divertimento, which was very famed. I think the Mozart trio was the very first string trio where each voice was equal and independent. And he really capitalized on this this idea by doing his whole Opus 9 set.
I find that composers often differ with their use of the cello in chamber music. How do Mozart, Beethoven, and Rossini use the cello in the works that you are presenting?
Well, that's a very good question. And I would say the Rossini... I'm going to quote one of my cellist friends. The Rossini, I guess I get a lot of umchuck.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's what we say for just doing accompaniment, you know, mm-hmm. waltz accompaniment. But Rossini is a lot of rhythmic and harmonic, typical bass kind of accompaniment.
Mm-hmm.
Mozart, also a good deal of that with a few melodies maybe here and there, but it's mostly flute and violin.
Mm-hmm.
Viola has a little melody here and there. As we go later and later, the Beethoven, now we're into equal parts, and the Klein is also equal parts as well. In fact, there's lots of cello solos throughout the string trio, especially in the lento movement, which is the variations on a Moravian folk tune. And then the Strauss, which is also an extremely unusual piece, not your typical Don Juan, Ein Heldenleben, also Sprach. Not this kind of Strauss. This is the 18-year-old Strauss who wrote a little ditty for string trio for a party, and he titled it, I guess the rough translation is, "The Girl is Mad at Me" or "Miffed at Me." and it probably got some laughs at the party. And we discovered the piece just as a curiosity, and after playing it and really sort of bringing it to life and giving it our interpretation, we found that it was a great opener for most of our concerts. And also because it's so rarely heard,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
people seem to have a strong interest. And we like the title. Always gets a good laugh.
How do you choose the music that you want to perform? Like, how do you go about crafting a program?
Well, that can happen in different ways. I mean, we can make suggested programs that we know work for us, but often a series will look over our repertoire list and say, well, these are the pieces we want to hear. And often we'll go with what they want, and sometimes we'll make suggestions. The string trio repertoire is not as deep as other ensembles. So there are limits. There's only one Mozart trio. There's a lot of Beethoven trios.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, you know, there's two Martinus. There's a Dachnani that's very good. There's some Schubert. It's really, as far as greatest hits, there's a small selection. And mm-hmm. then if you go beyond the greatest hits, there's quite a lot of interesting stuff. But usually we're playing one of the greatest hits on a program and maybe some other sort of exploratory or lesser known works. And then, as I said before, if we add another performer, we really get into expanding the repertoire. We can do Brahms piano quartets or Mozart piano quartets, or add a violin to that, and you have the piano quintets. And there's ways to really expand from this core of three.
Well, David, I believe that's all I have for you today. Thanks so much for taking time to talk with me, and I hope you have a safe trip to Knoxville.
Oh, yeah, we're looking forward to it, and looking forward to meeting you as well.
Once again, that was cellist Michael Mermagan, a member of the Aspen String Trio, who was presenting a concert along with flutist Eugenia Moliner this Saturday night in Oak Ridge at 7:30 at Pollard Auditorium. More information on this event is available online at orcma.org or by phone at 483-5569.